She tweeted. She tweeted. Her tweet was a nasty tweet. Oh, when Jezebel tweeted. When Jezebel issued her tweet. This is right after the prophet Elijah, the most famous prophet of his generation. He confronted her husband, who's the king of Israel, Ahab, on Mount Carmel. Said the real God's going to answer with fire, and he did. The false prophets all died. Then the prophet prays for rain. Rain came down. But then Ahab goes to his wife and says, the prophet killed your team. 1 Kings 19:1. Jezebel lost it, and she tweeted. She, in essence, engaging in a modern-day application of this story, she, in essence, issued out the word, and she tweeted. What a tweet. Can you go back to the tweet graphic, please? Go back to the graphic of the tweet, because you got to see this. That's what she tweeted. Hey, Elijah, in 24 hours, you will die. I just want to know, who are the 157 people who love their tweets? That's what I'm interested in. And, of course, all the retweets, and 568,000 people quoted her. That's just crazy. She tweeted. She tweeted. I want to speak to you briefly this morning as we wrap up the Mantle of Promotion series. 3 months, October, actually four, October, November, December, January. Here's the message. Jezebel's tweet, the battle is between your mind and your mantle. When you win that battle, you will change the world. Tell your neighbor, the battle is between your mind and your mantle. When you win that battle, you will change the world. 1 Kings 19, let me read it, make it legal. Here we go. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. What a gossiper. A gossiping husband. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. She tweeted, may the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just like you killed them. She tweeted. Here's verse 3. Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Verse 4. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. Oh, wow. I have enough. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. I'm already dead. Take my life. He wanted to die. Verse 9, then he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, hey, Elijah, what are you doing here? All right. Number one, if you're taking any notes, and always, good luck with that. Point one, Jezebel's tweet requires a response. Never permit Jezebel's tweet to go unanswered. She threatened to kill the man of God. There's the tweet. You know, just threatening to kill the man of God. I'm going to kill you. The most anointed prophet of his generation. And Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. She threatened to kill the man of God. She threatened to silence the prophetic voice. She threatened the oracle of righteousness and justice. She threatened to put an end to the faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. She threatened. She engaged in what can be described as mental terrorism. What we know as psychological warfare. The question arises, how do we respond? How do we respond when the enemies of our God-ordained purpose, assignment, and destiny threaten our calling, our family, our future, our health, our faith, our generation, our nation? Jezebel's tweet requires a response. Never permit Jezebel's tweet to go unanswered. What do we do? How should we respond when we are threatened? When the enemy says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do away with your family. Your family will not be saved. You're never going to see that dream become a reality. Your purpose will never be realized. How should we respond when we are threatened by the spirit of Jezebel? How should we respond? Jezebel was not the first, and she won't be the last to threaten God's children. Once upon a time, the Israelites were threatened by the Egyptians as they were coming out of slavery en route to the promised land. God gave his children through Moses a prescription, an antidote to the darkness that threatened their very existence. But Moses told the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. For the Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. Exodus 14, 13. Here it is. How should we respond? Let's look at biblical examples. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the prescription for your breakthrough. When all hell comes against you, when you are threatened, when the enemy is threatening your joy and your peace and your health, your vitality, your relationship, your faith, your family, your destiny, and your future, do not be afraid. Stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you. In other words, if you rebuke fear, if you refuse to panic, if you keep your eyes on the Lord with a spirit of expectancy, the enemies you see today will never be seen again. And this is the word of the Lord for you and your family today. Rebuke fear. Don't panic. Look at your neighbor, tell him, don't panic. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I said, keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm going to say it till you get it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't put your eyes on the news. Don't put your eyes on social media. I don't care who it is. Don't put your eyes on the White House. Don't put your eyes on any man, any personality. Don't put your eyes on the things around you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and all the enemies threatening you will never be seen again. How many believe God has the power to make certain the things you're confronting will never be seen again? We just read it. I sense the Lord. Can you just come in agreement with me? That sin will never be seen again. That lie will never be seen again. That illness will never be seen again. Somebody prays like you believe that. That disruption will never be seen again. That chaos will never be seen again. That pain will never be seen again. That panic attack will never be seen again. That loneliness, that phobia will never be seen again. How should we respond to threats? How should we respond to Jezebel's tweet? Let me give you one more biblical example. Once upon a time, there was a giant named Goliath who, in essence, did the very same thing. The giant looked at the Israelites and a shepherd boy whose name was David and said, I am going to kill you. 1 Samuel 17, 43 to 45. And then all of a sudden, here's the response. David replied to the Philistine and said, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you. I said, I come to you, but I come to you. He responded to his tweet, I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And then he says, today, somebody say today, the Lord will conquer you. We need to stand up like David. How should we respond when we are threatened? When someone tweets, how should we respond? You come against me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come against you in the name that is above every other name, in the name to whom which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, in the name by which salvation has come unto all mankind, in the name of he who sets the captives free. We come in the name of Jesus. But by the way, David didn't say, because one day we will have the victory. David didn't say, next week we will have the victory. David never said, if I fast and pray for 3 months, I'm going to inevitably get the victory. No, he said, verse 46, he said, by the way, today, some of y'all need to just activate that right now anointing and say, today. Is there anyone here who is so desperate that you can't wait next week for your breakthrough, and you can't wait for a month for your breakthrough, and you can't wait for a year for your breakthrough? You need today to be that day. If you believe today is that day, give God your best shout of praise and say today. Lift up your hand and say, today is the day. But say it like you believe it. Today is that day. Today is that day. Today is the day my family gets saved. Today is the day my body gets healed. Today is the day the addiction comes to an end once and for all. The Apostle Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. Today, today, today. Jezebel's tweet requires a response. Never permit Jezebel's tweet to go unanswered. And a New Testament application, the quintessential Luke 13, 31 and 32. Jesus was threatened by Herod, and he responds, ooh, I love this. Go tell that fox. Go tell that fox, I will keep on casting out demons. I'm going to continue healing people. On the third day, I will accomplish my purpose. In other words, I'm going to do what God placed me on this planet to do, and I will accomplish my purpose. Number two, Jezebel's tweet provokes fear, depression, and anxiety. Our response activates faith, destiny, and anointing. I'm going to repeat that one more time for the hearing impaired. Jezebel's tweet provokes fear, depression, and anxiety. Our response activates faith, destiny, and anointing. What did Elijah do when Jezebel tweeted? You would expect Elijah, who just saw fire come down from heaven. You would expect the man who just prayed and it rained. You would expect them to read the tweet and go like, what? Big deal. Like, who cares about Jezebel's tweet? But he didn't. The moment he read the tweet, he freaked out. Somebody needs to explain, how can you reconcile the guy who just prayed fire and rain, drought, fire and rain technically, now he's freaking out because Jezebel tweeted. Well, in full disclosure, Jezebel killed all his friends. All his friends. She almost wiped out every single prophetic voice in Israel. She would find them and kill them. So he knows, I used to have a friend. I used to go to Starbucks and get lattes together. They're no longer around me because she killed them. So in other words, her stuff is not hype. She really goes out and kills the prophets. So, but nevertheless, he prayed down fire. He prayed down rain. He freaked out. Elijah should have known better. Elijah should have been reminded that who speaks into you is much more important than who speaks about you. Elijah should have been reminded that a distraction is the first step to a disruption. Elijah should have reminded himself that just like voice recognition technology, you need to configure the settings of your own life with the following truth. If it's not authorized to speak into your life, do not respond. There is a battle. And I've stated this as I travel across the country now, coming out of this pandemic. This is the point that has received, and Jason can attest to this, the greatest amount of response. This is the wow moment in all of our conferences in the month of January. There is a battle going on right now. And the battle is between your mind and your mantle. The battle is between the thoughts in your head and the calling upon your life. The true battle is between anxiety and anointing. The battle is between depression and destiny. The battle is between the nightmare and the dream. The battle is between your memories and your imagination. The battle is between faith and fear. The battle is between the hell in your past and the hope for your future. But how many here and how many watching online already know that the battle has already been won? I'm going to ask that one more time. I don't need a religious response. I need a righteous response. How many know that the battle has already been won? How many are certain that the battle has already been won? 1 Corinthians 15:57, Christ is our victory. Let nothing move you. But let me be forthright today. There are three critical elements that the prophet Elijah confronted that we must likewise confront. If we are to successfully carry the mantle of promotion, we have to overcome these things. We must overcome these things right here in front of you. We must overcome exactly what Elijah had to confront. Fear, That's the mama. Fear's the mom. Fear is the womb from which these things flow. Fear, and out of fear comes depression and anxiety. Fear is the mother of twins, not necessarily identical, but nevertheless twins, depression and anxiety. And let me explain something regarding depression and anxiety. Are they equally dangerous? Well, let me explain this to you real quick. Depression is about your past. Anxiety is about your future. People get depressed because of something that was done to you or something you did. So you're depressed based on something that already happened. Somebody asked me, Pastor Sam, which one is more dangerous? I would argue that out of these two, this one is more dangerous. This one occupies the prophetic. This one occupies your future. This is about stuff you haven't even seen yet or experienced yet. You get anxious about tomorrow and tomorrow hasn't even arrived. This one occupies your past. This one occupies your future. That right here, this is what attacks the prophetic, the plans of Jeremiah 29:11, the 1 Corinthians 2:9. So anxiety, depression, we've been, Pastor Sam, as Christians, do Christians fight this? Elijah confronted this. But fighting depression and anxiety does not make you less of a Christian. Absolutely not. It makes you human. Elijah, come on, fire. And then the next moment, I want to die. Are you kidding me? Ah, here it is. Help us, Lord. In other words, let me engage today's contextualized reality. I have to be careful now so they don't deplatform me again. The greatest virus infecting humanity is not COVID. The greatest virus infecting humanity is not COVID. The greatest virus infecting humanity is the virus of fear, with the variants of anxiety and depression. I want to repeat that. The greatest virus infecting humanity is not COVID. The greatest virus infecting humanity is the virus of fear with the variants of anxiety and depression. But I don't have good news. I have great news. There is a 2,000-year-old vaccine. I said there is. It wasn't in a laboratory. It wasn't somewhere in a medical research center. On the cross of Calvary, the vaccine above every other vaccine was developed and poured out to overcome this virus. If you've been vaccinated, shout like you know the blood of Jesus. All the righteous vaccinated people, lift up your voice and shout like the blood of Jesus already forgave you. Shout like you know that. Shout like you believe it. Oh, wait. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. So we have a vaccine that was laid out on the cross. You see these buckets? On purpose, I asked my team, I need some booster shots today. These are the boosters. Pastor Sam, what are you saying? Oh, yeah, here's the booster. Here's the Holy Communion. Here's your booster shot. I kid you not. Remind yourself, whenever you feel your spiritual immune system is going down, remind yourself that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread with his disciples, blessing the bread. He said, this is my body. Then he gave out wine and said, this is a symbol of the new covenant blood that will be shed. Do this until I come back. If you really want the most powerful booster on the planet, every single time come into God's house, remind yourself that you live in the finished work of Christ. Anybody need a booster today? Come up and get your booster. Come on up. I have enough for everybody. Get your booster shot. I'm not kidding. Go up and get your booster shot. That's your booster shot. Go get your booster. Remind yourself that Jesus shed his blood on the cross. Remind yourself that he resurrected on the third day. Remind yourself that the new covenant is greater than the old covenant. Remind yourself that he defeated every principality and power of darkness on the cross, disarming them by the power of his word. Somebody shout like you know. Get your booster shot. Stand with me. Let me give you a booster. There's a vaccine on every single Sunday you come to church. Guess what you get? Your booster. That's why you come to church, guys. And I'm not speaking about what's happening with COVID or vaccines or boosters. That's your personal decision with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a decision for you to make with God and your family and your health provider. I'm talking about the spiritual application of the number one virus infecting humanity. It's not COVID, it's fear. Elijah confronted that virus. How do we defeat this stuff? You're already vaccinated 2,000 years ago if you're born again. If you accept Jesus, you have a vaccine. And by the way, hey, I love what the author of Hebrews says. With the blood of Jesus, you don't have to get a second vaccine, a third vaccine, or a fourth vaccine. Watch! Oh, somebody prays like you got that. So let me make it legal here as you stand with me. Let me give you the booster shot. Here's the fear. The fear vaccine is simple. Fear not, Isaiah 41 verse 10. For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Here's your fear vaccine. Out of the blood of Jesus, out of the finished work of Christ, 2 Timothy 1:7. How many times can we possibly read this verse? For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Here's your anxiety booster. I'm going to give it to you. No hype. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Here's your depression booster. Here we go. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Here's another depression booster, Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope. This is the number one virus. But there's a vaccine for that. 2,000 years ago, and this is your booster. Remind yourself of the finished work of Christ. Remind yourself when he said it is finished, he meant it. And he wasn't joking. If you got this, raise your hand. What did Jezebel say? Bring back the tweet. Team, can you put back the original tweet? If it's possible, go back. You see that tweet? In 24 hours, you will die. Yeah. Well, 24 hours passed. And Elijah did not die. 48 hours passed. Elijah did not die. A week passed. Elijah did not die. A month passed. Elijah. What if I tell you a year passed? He did not die. What if I tell you a decade passed? He did not die. What if I tell you 100 years passed? He did not die. What if I tell you 1,000 years passed, he did not die? What if I tell you it's been approximately 2,800 years since Jezebel tweeted and the man has yet to die? Y'all didn't get that. She said, you're going to die in 24 hours and the man has yet to die. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11 says that Elijah and Elisha were walking. Suddenly, a chariot of fire. A chariot of fire separates them. A whirlwind takes Elijah up. The Bible says Elijah never died. In the matter of fact, next time we see Elijah, Matthew 17:2, he's taking a selfie with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't know if you got that. He never died. What does that mean for you? Whatever hell has declared upon you, whatever hell has spoken upon you, your family, your home, your health, your future, the opposite will take place. The opposite will take place. I need you to look at your neighbor and tell him, whatever Jezebel declared, whatever hell has spoken upon you, whatever the enemy has planned out for you, for your children, or your children's children, or your children's children's children, the opposite. I said 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 the opposite will take place. Somebody shout like you know. The opposite will take place. What heaven starts, hell cannot stop.
But it's really about a plow and a mantle. Life is about seasons where we are pushing, and we're pushing through work and family and home and relationships and faith. And then all of a sudden, just like Elijah, God places a deposit upon each and every one of us. Because I am believing in the name of Jesus that before this is over, you're gonna go from a plow to a mantle, and you're gonna walk out of an anointing that will enable you to change your life for the glory of Jesus. So I'm speaking prophetically to every plow pusher right now. With your right hand, lift it up. Here it is. To every mom and dad, husband and wife, married and single, entrepreneur and creative who has been pushing the plow. If you've never pushed the proverbial plow, do not expect to carry the mantle. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary of doing what is right. In your appointed time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if you do not give up.